For years, we've known that the consumption of meat is both environmentally destructive and morally dubious. Scientists, health experts, and activists alike champion the benefits of a plant-based diet. Nevertheless, change has been slow to arrive, and the gap between our appetites and our collective well-being seems impossibly vast. We know we must transition to a more plant-based world, but what would such a world look like? And how do we realistically get there? In the new book, The Good Eater, A Vegan Search for the Future of Food, Harvard-trained sociologist and vegan Nina Gilboa takes a look at the history of veganism to answer those questions. Again, the name of the book is The Good Eater, A Vegan Search for the Future of Food, and we welcome Nina Gilboa to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
It's an honor. Thank you for having me, Joe.
Very nice to have you here. What got you thinking a couple of steps ahead of maybe many of us of the future of food?
Well, you know, at the time I was a graduate student at Harvard, and I was thinking about, you know, what did I want to write about for my dissertation? And at the time, my grandfather, whom I was very close with when I was growing up, he had cancer and he had diabetes, and he died prematurely from those diseases. And that inspired me to look at the link between diet and disease, something that I had never done before. And I was really shocked to learn about all the nutritional research that shows the link between, you know, plant-based diet and, you know, better health more generally. And so that really inspired me to look at the environmental consequences as well of what we eat, the ethical consequences, and to ask this question of, is there truly an ethical way to eat? And I was curious to learn about this growing movement of veganism around the world, which, you know, for a long time, we really wasn't a social fringe. I'm someone who would have never thought that I would be vegan. I grew up in an Eastern European family. We ate lots of meat and dairy growing up. But really, my grandfather's early death inspired me to look at this growing movement around the world. And so that's what the book is about.
What is the, I guess I'm overall interested in why this history of veganism is so complicated, of why it is something that has taken many of us a while to figure out.
Well, there's a term for this actually in psychology. It's the idea of the meat paradox, and that's the idea that we all kind of know that, you know, all the pressing problems that we face today, deforestation, water shortage, loss of biodiversity, chronic diseases, and just all the ethical implications of how meat and dairy and eggs are raised on factory farms. We all know about these things, but we still want to consume the foods. And that's because food is deeply nostalgic. It's deeply important to us. It's culturally also very important. You know, how many of us want to give up, you know, a turkey on Thanksgiving? It's a really big part of who we are. And so also historically, meat has always had a high status because really it was quite rare. It's only in the last 50 to 70 years that meat, dairy, and eggs are on our plate three times a day. That really wasn't the case historically. Historically, all around the world, all world cuisines, it really was plants, whole grains, vegetables, legumes, and fruits that were the cornerstone of our diets. And it's only in the last 50 to 70 years that they've really become, you know, something that, you know, meat and dairy and eggs are kind of displacing in the last while. And so we are aware of the costs of, you know, eating meat and animal products, but it takes a lot to shift. And we're really only in what I would call the early adopter phase of this movement. And cultural change is slow because there are a lot of barriers and challenges to switching diets.
So how are today's vegans really redefining the way that we eat, the way the world eats?
Well, you know, veganism, when I first started this project, I had no idea that veganism is actually, it's an ancient movement. We've only had the term since the 1940s, but before that there was vegetarianism, of course, since the 1900s and 1800s. But before that, it was actually referred to as a Pythagorean diet, and that's essentially what we call a plant-based diet today. So it actually has roots in antiquity. Many luminaries throughout history, Pythagoras, Leonardo da Vinci, Leo Tolstoy, Gandhi, and many others actually followed what we would call a plant-based diet today. And ever since, essentially, humans had the option of taking animals off their plate, many did so for philosophical and spiritual and ethical reasons. And, you know, so this movement has always been there throughout this time, throughout the choices that we've been making. It's really in the last, I would say, since the 1970s that it took on the shape of first as an animal rights movement. And then I would call what was happening in the last 5 to 10 years, the rise of veganism as a lifestyle movement. And I was really curious to understand how people like me, who never would have thought that I would be vegan or would, you know, kind of live with this philosophy, it's become more prominent. And part of that is, I think there's this rise in consciousness around the implications of what we eat. And so vegans, even though they're on the fringe, they're still having an influence in the mainstream. And even though many people aren't necessarily vegan, it's still 1% to 3% of the population. Many people are reducing meat consumption. So they might eat, you know, vegan before six, in the words of Mark Bittman, the former New York Times columnist, or like my mentor, Michael Pollan, who says, you know, eat food, not too much, mostly plants. I think a lot of us are shifting in that direction. And then also Gen Z's, younger people, they're really aware of the environmental costs of meat. So, you know, I am vegan myself. I advocate for a vegan diet from a philosophical perspective. But really what I would love for eaters and readers to take away after reading this book, engaging with this material, is really just to bring more consciousness into what we eat. And even, you know, the rise of plant-based products, this kind of influence of Silicon Valley and the rise of these kind of alternative proteins is what proponents would call them, and fake meat is what detractors would call them. I think that this rise in these products and this interest and the influx of capital in this movement is because we're all aware of the consequences. But I really do want in this book to bring up some of the nuances, because food is very, very complicated and the food system is complicated. And yet, you know, I advocate for putting more whole plants onto our plates. So focusing less on what we're taking off, you know, less meat and dairy, et cetera, and more on the abundance of the plant kingdom and the fact that really plants have been at the center of all of our culinary histories throughout history. And I want people to really remember those culinary legacies and be creative with their palates.
The name of the book is The Good Eater. So take us 20 years into the future. What does a good eater look like?
A good eater is simply someone who is far more conscious about the food chain that has led to the food that is on their plate. And, you know, people ask me, what does the future of food look like? And of course, I don't know. I think sometimes it's hard to predict what will happen in the future. But I think that what I'm hoping for the future of food will be, and that there's this rise of good eaters, it's really people who are eating not only and more ethically, and really thinking about the consequences, not only in terms of the environment and animals and even the humans, the farm workers who pick our food and the slaughterhouse workers who, you know, work to bring meat to our table from factory farms, but really around environmental impact. And also, I think the emphasis of good here is also on abundance and deliciousness. So somebody who eats more regeneratively and organically grown food, locally grown food, and is just much more conscious about, you know, where does their food actually come from, and really looking at the food chain. Every single time we make the choice of putting food onto our plate, we're asking ourselves this question of, you know, what should I eat today? Is really, as Thich Nhat Hanh, the spiritual teacher, says, what we're asking is, what kind of world do we want to live in?
The name of the new book, The Good Eater, A Vegan Search for the Future of Food. Nina Gilbo, I thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure to have you on the program. Best of luck with the book.
Thank you so much, Joe.
Be well. Thank you so much. Again, the name of the book is The Good Eater, A Vegan Search for the Future of Food. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.